Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who are ready for a mammoth episode of the podcast today.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird?
So, Jonah, I know you had kind of a unique experience taking guitar lessons growing up. And in honor of our guest today, who we're really excited for, I thought you could talk a little bit about your guitar lesson experience.
Yeah. When I was 13, I got a guitar. It was a Cort guitar. And it was white with Van Halen-esque kind of stripes painted on it. I think someone did in like lipstick or something. It was very... very kind of crude, but I thought it was like the coolest guitar. And I took lessons at this place in Cleveland. It was a music store, but then the lessons were in the basement. And I took lessons from this guy, Andy, who chain smoked the whole time. And it was like an unfinished basement. And he would just play like Metallica, Search and Destroy, and show me how to play it. And I remember at one point, I think mom heard there was some like kind of sketchy stuff happening at the store. Like, I got a guitar from them, and I think it might have been stolen. I was like... They were like, what color do you want? I was like, this. And they're like, we can't get that, but how's this one? We have this one right now. So I got my first Les Paul studio there. But yeah, eventually I switched to this place, Academy Music. I started with this guy, Dave Baker, who was great. But I remember mom being like, you can't keep going to this place as like a 14-year-old kid. It's not...
because it was maybe a front for... drugs or something.
Yeah, I think there was some weird stuff going on there. I think mom's instincts were good. I was mad though. I thought it was super fun. I was like, I get to hang out with this like old guy with long hair who's gonna smoke cigarettes and show me Metallica songs.
I kind of remember you being mad.
Yeah, I was bummed, but you know, it all worked out in the end. But yeah, I don't know what happened to that Cort guitar, but it was I had that and this small little Gorilla amp, and I played on that thing a lot.
Absolutely rocking.
Totally rocking. But speaking of rocking, let's get into today's guest.
Yes.
You know him from playing bass in Van Halen, Tremonti, and obviously fronting his own act, Mammoth WVH. They've toured with everyone from Guns N' Roses to Def Leppard. Let's give a warm welcome to Wolfgang Van Halen. Wolfgang, how's it going?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Did you ever have like a sketchy guitar lesson experience, or probably not?
It's not really. I mean, I never really took lessons at all.
Okay.
My dad taught me how to play one thing. I wanted to learn how to play guitar for a graduation. I guess they call it step up. It was a performance at school. And I wanted to learn how to play this song called 316. It was a song my dad had written for me when I was born. Aww. He taught me how to play that. And then from there, I would just kind of look at like guitar tabs online to figure out how to play like Chop Suey by System of a Down and stuff. And Blink 182. And from there, I just kind of taught myself.
Okay.
What was Step Up? How old were you for Step Up? What grade was that? Was it a like...
Fifth grade. It was fifth grade.
So fifth grade. So like a middle school graduation or like a...
That it was the school I went to. It was still elementary. It was kindergarten.
Elementary. Yes. Yes. Okay.
But yeah, it was... There was like a... For Step Up, every grade, like they'd have like song performances and stuff. I remember one time, maybe it was that year, I think like all the popular girls sung the Friends theme song and stuff. But then I got up there and I just played this like really somber finger-picked acoustic guitar thing, like so not like what people wanted to hear, but it was my first thing of like learning how to play and it felt good. So
also I bet your song in retrospect was so much cooler. Not that we don't, no disrespect to Friends, but it feels so deeply embarrassing to sing that theme song with your friends.
Yeah, but they were perfect. Kind of like unenthused about it, you know, like just the typical yeah. like popular girl just kind of standing there with like locked knees, just kind of like and they weren't even singing the harmonies. They were just singing one vocal pattern of it.
Oh my God.
They were kids.
I can picture it. That's so good.
That's incredible. Yeah. So you performed there. How did your performance go over at Step Up?
I think it went well. I tend to kind of blank up when I get so nervous. I still get nervous to this day. And I kind of just go somewhere else. And then I luckily have a bunch of people around me that I love and that support me that go like, yeah, you did all right. That was good.
Yeah.
So I kind of just like go away for a second sometimes.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. You know, me and Vanessa's, our dad owns a packaging factory. And so that was not something we were really interested in as adults. He ended up getting, someone else bought the company. It's a long story, but not involving us.
Yeah.
But I was curious, like for you, obviously your dad being, you know, such a legendary guitar player, was it something you were interested in initially, or was it like how I feel about packaging, where like this is what my dad does and I'm not into it?
I think it just had to do with maybe just the exposure of just being around it my whole life.
Sure.
It just felt like a natural thing. It was what I was interested in the most other than video games. I just, I started playing drums when I was 9. So I was already just like into listening to music and figuring out how to play it. That by the time I picked up guitar as well, I was just kind of in it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You grew up in Santa Monica? Is that?
I was born in Santa Monica because that's where St. John's, the hospital is. But I was raised in Studio City, just a straight valley kid.
Yeah.
Did you play outside a lot? Did you skateboard? Like what's kind of your childhood like as far as like stuff
for fun?
I wanted
to skateboard so bad one year, but my dad wouldn't let me unless I was wearing wrist guards, because if I hurt my hand, I wouldn't be able to play music.
Smart.
Looking back on that, that was very smart, but you didn't want to be that loser with the helmet and wrist guards and knee pads and shin guards, and everybody would make fun of you. So I just kind of stopped and focused on, I did. I remember, God, what did I do? My mom put me in all the extracurricular. I played basketball. I played soccer. And then I remember I did baseball. I liked T-ball. That was fun.
Yeah. But T-ball's good.
Once kids started pitching and this one kid hit me like 3 times pitching to me, I was like, Mom, I'm done. Please, can we stop?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's not cool.
Yeah.
What was interesting to me about that story was your dad is obviously legendary musician Eddie Van Halen for anyone who just doesn't know that.
Right.
I'm not just a fan of the band. I didn't change
it's
my
interesting. Mind. Yeah. What if we were just talking to you so much about your favorite band. But it's interesting because you think of rock stars as being like so not caring about safety. But I love that he was like, you have to wear like guards. And then your mom being Valerie Bertinelli, like I like that, she obviously encouraged you to play sports. But did you ever want to go into acting at all? Was that interesting to you at all?
I did take theater. I think that was one of the few classes I actually got an A in. Yeah, I have an affinity for it. It's a lot of fun. I think I've just been so into music. I've never really given it a shot.
Yeah.
I mean, I have fun like for our dumb little music videos we have with my band. We have a lot of fun doing stuff like that. But I'd be into that at some point, but I'm just so focused on the music right now. I feel like I don't have the time.
Yeah.
If it makes you feel any better, my wife will only let me skateboard in the driveway with a helmet on, and I'm an adult. So I think it's like, it's tough. Like, so it's like when you're a kid, it's dangerous, but it almost feels like an adult, like I'm 44, it's actually like more dangerous.
Oh, much more, much more. You can, you just, right. I got up weird the other day and I had a pain in my shoulder for like a week.
Yeah. You can injure yourself just sleeping now. Yeah. It's like, it's a bummer.
Yeah.
Well, Fane, so you got into more like metal and stuff. Like, I know you're a fan of Meshuggah and some of those kind of heavier bands. How did you kind of get exposed to that kind of stuff?
Let's see. I mean, I always grew up, I mean, Van Halen being a I guess, technically hard rock band.
Sure.
I've always been interested in rock. You know, AC/DC was the first band my dad and I really bonded over. And I mean, from there, I really liked Blink-182 and then System of a Down. And then I discovered Tool, who I actually just saw last night. It was amazing.
Really? How was that?
Oh,
it was really, really great. The show was insane. And I think discovering bands like Tool, and then it kind of snowballed to bands like Meshuggah and stuff. That's where I really, I guess, started loving heavier music.
Yeah. And I remember, speaking of Tool, I remember years ago, like, there was a situation where you were at a show and someone asked your dad to take a photo of them, but he didn't know it was him or something.
No, dad just looked like a dude, you know, he didn't know he was wearing striped overalls and had a guitar, you know? And it was the end of, so Tool have a very specific, which I think is really cool, no phone policy for the whole show.
Amazing.
And like literally last night, if anybody pulled a phone out, there were security guards who would flash a flashlight at you.
Wow.
Be like, you're living in the moment tonight, which is pretty cool. People actually listened to that. But then at the end, Maynard, the vocalist, is like, okay, guys, you can take your crack pipes out and start just filming everything that you want. And then everybody filmed it. And at the end, people can take pictures of the stage and stuff. And this random dude, it was in 2019, walked up to my dad and was just like, hey, can you take a quick picture of me? And it was like, picture of me? Oh, okay, yeah. And in that moment, I just thought it was so hilarious that I took a picture of him taking the picture and posted it. And not to really make fun of the guy. I thought it was really cute and hilarious. And it just blew up. It was really, really.
That's so funny. That happens to me kind of a lot too. People ask me to take a picture and I go, well, I guess you don't give a crap about me. But I'm no Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah, I never saw Tool. I could have seen him on the Undertow tour. And I didn't, but I saw Soundgarden on the Super Unknown tour instead that summer.
That's pretty incredible. I think that's a worthy trade. That's a worthy trade.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've told Jonah that my claim to fame is that I met Chris Cornell at SNL, and I told him that everyone told me I look like the girl in Black Hole Sun who's jumping rope. And he was sort of like, huh? And I was like, and I used to have braces. And he was like, oh, I see it. Which was really cool.
Awesome. That's amazing.
I was just going to ask, speaking of the 90s, were we talking about the 90s? I don't know. Anyway, I remember that there was a Van Halen song that scored a Clear Pepsi commercial. Am I right? Yeah, that Right Now scored?
I think Right Now what's in the Crystal Pepsi campaign.
Now, were you getting Crystal Pepsi left and right in your house during that time?
Maybe. I feel like that was probably, I was like 2 years old. So
You were too young.
That album came out in what, 90? My dad was recording it when I was born.
Okay.
92. So I was not aware, because it probably water, honestly.
Yeah. Two-year-old Wolfgang, you're probably going, you're not interested in that. Yeah. If you had been a few years. Yeah. Jonah and I just remember every kind of like free food that we've ever gotten.
Like our dad got like free Hero sandwiches. Because he almost was buying this business. And so we talk about that a lot still. But I imagine you guys probably got sent stuff all the time.
I think the one free food thing that I ever was like stoked about as a kid is when my mom was on Touched by an Angel. And they filmed that in Park City, Utah.
Wow.
And wonderful place if you haven't been there. I love it up there. But I would go to the craft service truck and steal all the payday bars.
Oh yeah.
So specific.
Anytime my dad was with me, like, we would be like, we're gonna grab like 8 paydays.
That's a pretty sophisticated candy bar for a kid.
A lot of peanuts. And I was just, I don't know why I was into it. That doesn't seem like that's a good, very
I'd be going for chocolate. Yeah, but
a sophisticated palate.
You had a sophisticated palate. And your mom is quite a cook. So, you know, she probably raised you to get past the like basic stuff at a pretty young age and you're on to paydays.
Yeah, I was advanced in my candy eating years.
There's something really satisfying as a kid to get like a full size candy bar, because I feel like Halloween, all the holidays, you're getting these like tiny ones, and then I
those
feel
are the
like
best when you houses get
back, yeah,
that
yeah,
out the full size candy bars, you knew where to
oh,
go.
Oh yeah, I always go to my friend / manager's house, Christy, on Halloween, and I help her pass out candy, and she has, and we always with a few other people, we always pass out full size candy bars, and the reaction from kids and adults is so wild. Like everyone can't believe that the candy bars are full size, and they always try and sneak back and get like a second candy bar. I'm including the adults in this, by the way. And we have to say no to them. It's really humiliating, I think, for the adults, because it's like, you shouldn't have even asked for one. This isn't your holiday. You know what I mean? But yeah, people love full size candy bars. Yeah. As a kid, it's just like, this thing is enormous and I'm going to have so much sugar.
Yeah, I'll never forget. And you know, like every set always has a big thing of Red Vines, always, you know?
So it's
like, it's just like, I think my dad always just had a handful of Red Vines anytime we were visiting my mom on set.
Oh, that's so fun. That's so fun. And I'm a Twizzlers person and still I'd eat through all of those.
He'd eat all, he was all about, like, I remember he always had a bag of Twizzlers with him too. Like he was always about Twizzlers. He loved.
I love that. I love that. That's
amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Wolfgang Van Halen.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
And we're back. Wolfgang, we're going to get into our topic, but really quick, you know, something I always, speaking of being a kid, I dreamed of was having my own signature guitar. It hasn't happened yet. It's looking more and more unlikely.
Jonah, don't say that.
Don't say that. Don't let your dreams be dreams.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay. Okay. It could have. It's about 50-50. I know.
I've been checking.
I know
you have a ton.
Yeah, that's a little high.
Pretty high percentage for someone who's doubting themselves.
It's probably like a 0.0001.
No. Keep it 50-50. Let's be optimistic.
50-50. Yeah. Fender's probably trying to call me right now. But, you know, you have a lot of them and you have a new one. I mean, how fun is it to design your own guitar? I mean, that must be incredible.
It's a really special thing. Yeah, we just announced on my dad's birthday at this point a couple weeks ago. So for the unfamiliar, my dad's guitar company and amp company, EVH Gear, in partnership with Fender, I guess it's a specialty brand under like the umbrella of it. And my dad has been there since 2007, where he introduced the Wolfgang line of guitars named after after me. As a sort of tribute return to that, the guitar that I developed is called the SA-126. SA for semi-acoustic because it's a semi-hollow guitar. And 126 because that's his birthday. So we announced that on his birthday. And it'll be out in May. I've been playing it live for the last 2 years, crash testing it, as my dad would say, because he would always, I remember when he was developing the 5153 line of guitar amps, he was up at the studio for a week. He turned all the knobs fully up and left a guitar in front of it feeding back and then just left it sitting there for an entire week. And if you were down at the house and listened, you could kind of hear a and yeah. The closer you would go up to the studio and open, you know, the soundproof doors, it would just get louder and louder to find, you know, the loudest sound happening up at the studio. And the amp didn't blow up. So it was ready, I guess, at that point.
Wow.
Incredible. Oh my gosh.
That's so cool. Jonah, that's going to be your next present. I'm going to get you that guitar.
All right. Yeah.
I know somebody at the guitar. I might be able to help you out. I could also talk to Fender about your signature model too.
Yeah. Yeah. Next time we'll meet with them, maybe just mention it. Yeah.
That's so cool. You had such a cool dad. And, you know, our dad, again, owned a packaging company.
That's
still
cool.
Technically is consultants.
That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. Wolfgang, if you need us to hook you up with some like that stuff that you fill your tire with, if you get a flat tire. I think he's...
Or if you buy something that's shrink wrap, like a CD or something.
I will pick you up on that offer because I unfortunately have popped a lot of tires. There's a lot of problems.
Okay. We'll hook you up. We'll hook you up.
But we can get something shrink wrapped again if you want to return it. So it's like almost the opposite. Like if you need to get rid of something, he can rewrap it for you in a way that'll look like you never opened it.
That's awesome. I will absolutely take you up on that.
That's good. Well, yeah. Well,
even so trade.
We can trade. Yeah, we can trade. That's a fair trade.
I give you a guitar. You guys can rewrap a DVD of Liar Liar for me. That'd be great.
And give you some like shit that fills your tire.
Yeah, that probably doesn't even work. Yeah.
We're good. This is a good deal.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good deal.
50-50.
So, okay, we talked a lot about topic ideas. And so you came up with a great one, Nintendo 64. What was your kind of relationship like with Nintendo 64? Was this like your first big console or how do you think back on it?
I am a giant nerd. When I'm not playing guitar or, you know, music, I'm playing video games. And I grew up, I think my mom maybe regrets it to a bit, that I grew up in a house that had everything. I had the Sega Genesis and the Super Nintendo. But the really big thing was when that Christmas where the Nintendo 64 came out. I mean, there's that famous video, that kid freaking out. With the Nintendo 64, that was such a big thing for me because I don't think there's ever going to be a jump like that again from 2D games to a third dimension. Like moving Mario around Peach's castle that first time was the most amazing and incredibly frustrating thing because you just didn't know how to do it. But yeah, that always stuck in my mind as one of the crazy video game memories growing up was getting the Nintendo 64. I loved that thing.
Were there any games like, because I remember the thing I remember the most was going from Super Mario Kart from Super Nintendo and then it coming on N64 and it being so 3D. I mean, were you into that game? Like, what were some of the games that you were into?
Yeah, Mario Kart 64, Super Mario 64, The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time. I've beaten that game. I beat it for fun 2 weeks ago just because, like, I still just play it all the time.
Wow.
But yeah, I was a big Mario guy growing up, like being able to play it in all a new dimension was ridiculous to me at the time. I couldn't believe it.
What's the deal with Wario? That's like the evil Mario?
Yeah, it's weird. I feel like, I don't know if I've done enough research on this, but I feel like it's like he doesn't like Mario and he's not related. Like he just, he's not like an evil brother. He's just like,
he just happens to have a really similar name.
Yeah, I guess he's, I guess he uses that coincidence in a proper manner.
In his favor. Like, yeah. Oh,
his name is my W upside down. So I got to be his enemy, I guess.
So like your enemy would be like Mulfgang. If there was like a gang.
Yeah, would be my, well, I guess I would be the Wario in this situation.
You'd be the Wario. Yeah, true, true.
Yeah, so if there's any Mulfgangs out there, you better watch out.
I'm gonna put your girlfriend in a castle.
So yeah, so what was your kind of like, did you have a specific like place you would play or like certain snacks or like what was your setup like?
My setup was right in the living room on what at the time was the most insane, hugest TV ever, which was probably just like a 32-inch tube TV.
Yeah.
Now today we have like 100-inch flat screens and stuff. But at the time, you know, you'd be sitting on the couch and it's just this tiny little box. And you're like, man, the resolution is incredible. But yeah, I would just sit on the floor in the living room. And I remember playing the system before my mom could help me get through difficult parts. But once it... it upgraded to 3D graphics, she gave up and just became the co-pilot.
Yeah.
Because back then, without the, you know, the prevalence of the internet, you would get strategy guides to know all the secrets. So my mom
had
strategy guides and she would read them for me and be like, okay, so to, you know, to get this star, you have to collect the 7 coins and they're all over here. And she would be my Spock and help guide Mario to save Peach.
That's really sweet that you would sort of be co-pilots with that. That's really sweet. Now, did you ever help her memorize lines or anything like that?
No, it was a very one-sided relationship. And I was,
I guess you're the kid, so you get all the help and stuff. But okay, so you're not, okay.
I would just steal the candy at work. So definitely one-sided relationship.
Right.
Did you get into, you know, after N64, did you kind of continue on like, get into PlayStation or any stuff after that? Okay.
Everything, man. I still do. I am the biggest loser. I went from arguably the jump from Nintendo 64 to the GameCube. The Nintendo GameCube was probably the most insane in terms of like graphical fidelity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the PlayStation 2 and I have all of it. It's a hobby. My wife tries to convince me that like, no, you have interests and that's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Did
you ever get into like the Guitar Hero type games or were you like, I play a real guitar, this is like, I'm
both.
Above this? You did both.
I loved Guitar Hero. There was, you know, it's funny, we did Van Halen Guitar Hero.
Whoa.
It was a really quick thing. It was a very weird thing how it happened and it ended up not becoming what it could have been, but it was a fun thing to help see what goes into making that. But yeah, I remember, that was a thing you would do back in the day, like have parties and people would just,
because
it was like part karaoke at the same time and people would just sing along. And then there was that South Park episode about it that was like really hilarious. And yeah.
But do you think like even the hardest song to play in Guitar Hero, right? Let's say the most technical, do you think, I mean, is it anything like playing like Eruption or something on like an actual guitar?
No, not at all. It's very much just like it's similar, I guess, dexterity, but like in terms of like moving up and down a guitar neck, you're just kind of, it's like Dance Dance Revolution, but with your fingers.
Yeah.
You
know?
But would you say, because I can play pretty well at the very beginner level of Guitar Hero, that I'm sort of like pro or whatever?
An incredibly professional guitar player? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I also remember we had a friend when I lived in Chicago and was like on an improv team. We had a friend who had like all the instruments and we would go. Did you have all the instruments?
Oh, like what? Yeah, there was a
there was a drum set and there was
a rock band where they did
rock band. Oh, I'm thinking of
that's
a different
when they introduced where people could, then it really was karaoke. You could sing.
Then you could sing too. And I remember sometimes like the singing felt very like random. Like sometimes I'd get a really bad score and I'd be like, this is actually just the game being rude to me.
Yeah, you're just judging me for because your technology is terrible, not because I'm a bad singer.
I might be doing something interesting with my voice that doesn't fit into your little game and that doesn't make me
that's probably
get 30% or whatever.
These points mean nothing when I'm giving you gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah. Me and Vanessa also growing up had a Sega Genesis, and we had this Motley Crue themed pinball game called Crue Ball.
Yes, Crue Ball.
And it would, yeah. Which and I've... it's, if you can find it, had it would have like MIDI versions of like Home Sweet Home and stuff. It was incredible. Yeah.
It was a pretty cool game.
Only pinball machine I had was, I guess this is semi-relevant after this new trailer came out, but my dad wrote a couple songs for Twister. You remember Twister?
The movie?
The film, of course,
The old movie. And they made a Twister pinball machine, and that song dad wrote, Human Being, was like in a MIDI form playing throughout it.
Whoa, that's so cool.
I still have it up in the attic. It's a really cool machine, but I just remember playing that all the time.
Wow.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh. Well, yeah, I got a couple fun facts about the Nintendo 64. It went through a few name changes. It was almost called Nintendo Ultra 64. Mm-hmm. A lot of celebrities wanted it when it came out, such as Steven Spielberg, Matthew Perry, and a few of the Chicago Bulls. They released it in a bunch of different colors, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was like the clear plastic. They need to bring that back.
Whoa,
I
wish that was
purple phone. That'd be cool.
Yeah. I had a clear phone when I was.
And the final N64 cartridge ever made was Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Wow.
Wow. That's a good one. I mean, what a swan song. That's a good one to go out.
I know. That is a good one. Yeah. But, unlike its predecessors, it's not really collectible. You can get for about $200, you can get one, $100, $200. So yeah, some of these video game stuff, I know it can be very collectible.
Yeah, the reused like video game collector market is ridiculous right now.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of people turn to like emulation and stuff like that. Although that's kind of in a legal gray area, but it's tough. Like physical media is starting to become a real big issue nowadays. Not to get serious, but like it's just with streaming and all that, it's like I want to have my stuff and I can't have it if it's
right.
And it's so collectible. And the same with, you know, it's funny because I read a lot about collecting guitars, and it's like so funny to me because someone will post a photo of a guitar and someone will be like, that like pickup is the wrong color. You know, it's like people are so just want to like basically just say what's wrong with it. Like you'll see some the most beautiful thing ever and someone will find something.
That might just be the internet though.
Yeah. That might just
be the internet. Yeah.
That's true.
Like you could watch a video of a National Geographic video of a porcupine, you know, like pooping, and then there's like racial slurs in the comments.
Right.
Right. Yeah. People are absolute garbage. Now I'm curious, now that we are in the internet age and you're an adult, does your mom, I'm a huge fan of your mom's, does she ever play video games with you now? I mean, there's less of a need for someone to be, you know, using the physical guide, et cetera, but does she ever like, oh, you should have done that, you know, while you're playing?
I have like a VR setup, you know, where you can
Cool.
And I like to be like, hey, Ma, try this game out. And I put her in like a really terrifying horror game where like zombies and stuff. And I remember, I think we posted, it was a couple years ago, but she legitimately screamed. It was pretty. So anything other than trying to mess with her, not really.
Okay. So not in a super serious way. Now, when you were growing up, were you fans of any of her shows or were you just like, sorry, I know we're talking about Nintendo 64, but, or were you just like, more like, this is my mom, she's going to help me with video games? And
yeah, I mean, kind of like I think more recently, yeah, I've had a lot more fun. I think growing up, it was always just like, I want to go home. I don't want to sit here and have to be quiet. Seriously, on set, I need to be silent as a child. I can't do that.
Yeah.
And, but nowadays, yeah, like going on her cooking show and stuff like that, we're always always a really good time.
That's great. It's funny that you had to be really quiet at one of your parents' jobs and you could be really loud at the other.
Yeah, literally the polar opposite for both. Yeah.
Did you have any of like the handheld kind of consoles growing up, like Game Boy or
Lynx is pretty old school.
Atari Lynx. That's an old one. I never had that, but I did have a game. Yeah. And then the Game Boy Pocket, and then the Game Boy Color, and then the Game Boy Advance, and then the Game Boy Advance SP, and then the DS. Like I had
I still do.
I'm very proud of my collection.
Do you prefer those to ever to the full? I feel like those have gotten so advanced. Are they cooler?
They have gotten
now?
Advanced. The newest, the Nintendo Switch, is much like the culmination of like all of like home consoles and portable that like Nintendo kind of merged their markets into one. And as a touring musician, it is a wonderful thing to have.
Oh, like, I bet. Yeah. You know, it's so crazy because we're adults now and we can just buy Nintendos for ourselves in a way that you couldn't when you were a kid.
Yeah.
And I was noticing this the other day because I was at the dentist and it absolutely stunk. Like they were polishing my teeth and I was like, this is so uncomfortable. I hate this so much. And it's funny, like as an adult, we just have so much freedom to make our own decisions and we can choose to not go to the dentist if we don't want to and to buy Nintendos. And so I guess I like to live... I like to do a little bit of both just to keep it balanced, but you don't, it's so cool to be an adult. You just go like, hey, I have to do my 6 month dentist appointment. How about no way, Jose?
No, like literally, I think I saw like a meme one time where it was just like, you know, as an adult, you can just do whatever you want. You can just give up. You can go to the store right now and just like get a giant cake for a party of 12.
Yes.
And give up. You can just do that if you wanted to.
It's so fun. It's so cool. I always forget that I could go buy a huge sheet cake for myself.
What? Nice to remember that every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah. Am I going to brush my teeth? I don't think so.
No.
Well, Vanessa, you can still brush your teeth, right? Like, it doesn't have to be.
Oh,
well,
if she doesn't want to. Not at all.
I brush my teeth twice a day, but maybe tonight I'll say, actually, no. You know, it is a nice feeling when you brush your teeth. So I guess I will probably will do it. But and kind of known for my smile, not a big deal. But although when I was at the dentist, sorry, I was Wolfgang. I'm fake cocky a lot. When I was at the dentist, they were like, there's all these stains on your teeth. And I was like, what? And they were like, yeah, when we polish them, we're going to use this like kind of abrasive thing to get them off. And I was like, OK. And then they showed me the stains like the before and after they polished my teeth. And the stains were all on the inside of my teeth. Like they were behind the front and behind, like, and I was like, I don't give a shit if there's stains on the back of my teeth. Like who cares? And it's like, thanks for cleaning up the stains that no one will ever see.
Yeah, who's like, ever going to be looking in there?
Yeah. I could have been going to the store and buying a cake during this time, but instead I had to sit there while they polished the back of my teeth. This just in, nobody cares about the back of people's teeth. Sorry. It really was like, what?
No, that's not something you think about.
It's
really like, only care about the front of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Like I can't even see the back of my teeth. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
Yeah. It is interesting how you are kind of known for your teeth because we had the same dentist, same orthodontist growing up. No one ever comments on my, maybe it's a mustache, but no one ever comments on my teeth.
Well, Jonah, I think it is your mustache.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with Wolfgang Van Halen.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
All right. And we are back. So, Wolfgang, we're going to play a quick game with you right now. It is called Yes-stalgia or Nostalgia. In this game, we are going to discuss three nostalgic things from the past that are making a comeback and pick which one we are most excited about.
Okay.
So the first one, and we picked this because of you. We thought you might be interested in this. There's going to be a reboot of the game Crazy Taxi. This is a Sega game. They're doing a bunch of reboots. I guess the theme song was by The Offspring.
Yeah, All I Want. I know
All
that.
I Want, yep.
Whoa.
And so it first hit the arcades in 99. Then it was on Dreamcast, PlayStation 2, GameCube, and PC. There's a few sequels and spinoffs. And the last game was in 2017, Crazy Taxi Tycoon, where you run a taxi business. Don't know how that game's going. So, Wolfgang, what do you think about this Crazy Taxi reboot? Is this something you're interested in?
Absolutely. I give that a very, very hearty yes.
Okay.
One, because it's just a great game, but two, because it's also my wife's like favorite game. She loves Crazy Taxi. So knowing that there's a possibility we'll get more, that will be very exciting. Hopefully they don't mess it up like a lot of video games nowadays do by like turning it into just like a microtransaction riddled hell of no game. So I hope they do a good job because that we all could use driving around to The Offspring more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice. Yeah. Cause it's nice to not like, it's going to be like an Uber game and you're like going to have to like maximize your profits.
Spin it. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Vanessa, what do you think about the Crazy Taxi reboot?
I'm all in. I mean, just given Wolfgang's like description of it, it sounds great. I also like that somebody suggested like, let's name it Crazy Taxi. And everyone was like, yeah, it feels like a crazy name for a game. But like, I it's fun. Like I, you know,
well, think about it. That was the 90s where everything was radical and crazy and awesome.
Yeah.
You're totally rad, dude. You know?
Yes.
Crazy Taxi just fits. It's perfect. He probably got a raise when he came up with that.
Yeah.
No, you're probably right. So okay. And the premise of the game is it just like to pick people up and get them places as fast as possible?
You pick one of four cool, awesome people and you drive around as fast as you can, picking people up. And if you don't, they jump out of your car mid drive.
Whoa.
As an adult, it feels like a sort of a stressful game because it feels like work kind of.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I guess in the context of a game, it's fun. It feels like, especially for someone who loves getting stuff done, it feels like very satisfying, I bet, too.
Yeah, it's a rush.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm with you both of you. I think this is a fun game. The game I usually play in a taxi is I just stare at the meter and watch how expensive it is. So this sounds way more fun. Vanessa, do you want to get into the next one?
Yes, I do. Okay, so the next one is there's going to be a Bewitched reboot. It's in the works at Sony. It's a dramatic reboot of the 60s hit Bewitched. The writer is also known for The Boys and Daisy Jones and the Six. And it's described as an hour-long reimagination of the classic series. So do you, Wolfgang, are you familiar with Bewitched? Did you ever watch it?
Not really, but didn't they already try to reboot it? Like as a movie with Will Ferrell?
Wasn't there a movie with Will Ferrell? Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes.
And that didn't too hot, right? Like otherwise, I guess we would remember it better.
I feel like I can't remember if it did well. We were pretty young when it came out, so you were probably really young.
I think it was like early 2000s or something, right?
Oh, was it that recent? I think
it was 2000.
Although I hate to say early 2000s was now 20 years ago. I hate to make us all feel old now.
Right, oh 2005.
God. 2005. Yeah.
So it was like 19 years ago. Wow. Wow. Yeah. I guess maybe every 20 years, they waited like sort of 40 years. And then every 20 after that, they
I'm excited for the fifth remake in 2070. I think that'll be really
right. That's going to be a good
one. That's the one to wait for. Yeah.
Also, very fast math in your head.
I just threw that out.
Quick
don't
math.
Check it.
I mean, that's accurate. That's 24, 44. So, yeah. Yeah, that was really good math. Yeah. So you're, it sounds like you're
pretty ambivalent about it.
I think I would have said no. I think I would have said no. Not interested.
Okay.
Maybe just because it's just not my, here's more 90s for you. Not my bag, baby.
Yeah.
I can't believe I just quoted Austin Powers. I'm so sorry.
That was cool.
I don't know, because maybe it's just not for me, but when I heard the dude from The Boys was doing it, The Boys is really good. So maybe they'll mix it up and make it ironic or I don't know, like for something really cool. Who knows?
Wolfgang, how would you feel about an Austin Powers reboot?
I don't know how I feel about things that are awesome, because if they were so awesome, why try to let's do a new thing. Let's keep the old thing as awesome as they are and figure out something new, you know?
I know. Did you see that last Bill and Ted's movie?
I did not.
That's pretty good. I think
it's
actually
in the middle of the pandemic and stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I was depressed and didn't want to go and see anything.
Yeah. It's pretty good. It's pretty good, but it's tough to reboot that classic stuff. It's
hit or miss.
Gotta be very careful with it. And
Jonah, how do you feel about a Bewitched?
Yeah. Kind of similar to Wolfgang. I mean, I feel like we watched the show growing up just because, you know, we didn't have a lot of options. I haven't seen the film. Sounds like a great cast, so I would check that out. But for the show, yeah, I guess if they have good production and stuff, it could be an interesting idea. I think it's actually supposed to be more of a drama. You know, the original show was a comedy. So it's kind of like what they did with The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. They kind of made a dramatization. Yeah, so I don't know. Could be really interesting. I would probably check out a couple episodes. Hey, I watched some of the new Quantum Leap. I watched some of the new Frasier. I mean, I'll check it out. But
I want to be positive for anything, obviously.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
But just from preference alone, and maybe just to balance these questions out, I'll throw a no.
No.
Yeah.
But I hope all the best. You know.
I feel like you've both been very gentle and positive about it, and it's okay if it's not your thing. I will say, you know, I think it's groovy, baby, that it's maybe going to come back, because your Austin Powers was better than mine. It's groovy, baby.
Baby?
No. Yeah,
that was a little Australian.
I always go Australian when I try and be British these days. Yeah. These days
when I'm always
excited. I bet I watched it more than both of you did, because I liked it. And I also liked I Dream of Jeannie a lot. So, and sometimes I get them confused, even though they have very different, very clear
I can see that. I can see
plots.
That.
But they were always on around the same time. And I feel like, you know, let's see. But to your point, like, it is hard with reboots, because you just don't know what's going to happen. And I feel like this is a show that is loved by a lot of people. And, you know, if you're going to do it, you got to do it right. So
if you don't do it right, your career is over and your life is over.
That's right.
Give up.
That's right. Because once a reboot doesn't work in Hollywood, they never try it again.
Yeah.
LOL.
Our last one here. This one actually is kind of related to our dad a little bit. It's from parade.com. Wendy's is bringing back one of their fan favorites. The crispy panko fish sandwich is coming back this week. In a recent blog post, Wendy's said that this sandwich has earned a strong, dedicated fan base over the years. So they're bringing it back. It's a wild-caught Alaska pollock filet. I can't believe they're using wild-caught fish. It seems way too expensive, but coated in breading with lettuce, American cheese, pickles, and tartar sauce on a bun, blah, blah, blah. There's some quotes from their global vice president of culinary innovation. Says it's customizable and pairs with the hot and crispy garlic fries. And one more thing to add.
Dad is going to lose his shit.
Yeah, this is the thing our dad is going to freak out about.
I have a great attachment to my dad with filet of sandwiches as well. I'll explain in a second.
Okay, amazing. Our dad's connect there. So just to give you some context, Wolfgang, we talked about this before. Our dad bought this pass to Wendy's where you get a free Frosty every time you go. like a small Frosty.
Like a mini, yeah.
Like a mini one, but they never have the regular ones. They just have vanilla and these flavors, and he like doesn't like the flavors. and I think this thing was like $5, and he gets like unlimited Frosties. So it's a
for the year. It's a really good deal. I think it went up from $2 to $3.
But in this fish sandwich announcement, they also said that they'll be bringing back a new Frosty flavor in March called Orange Dreamsicle, which I know our dad is going to hate.
He's going to be so mad.
We can only do the chocolate. That's what
only the chocolate. He's okay. Into the chocolate, doesn't like the flavors, but I feel like Orange Dreamsicle is like way too out there.
Wait, Jonah, I was just talking to him about this. I think he doesn't like the chocolate. I think he only likes the vanilla, and they keep the chocolate because that's the classic. And then they change the other flavor. So he has his choices are chocolate, which he's not really a fan of, vanilla, or whatever flavor. If you think he's going to be a fan of orange, you're wrong.
Yeah.
He's going to be so fucking pissed about this. He was so mad when it was strawberry. He was like, this, we've heard about it so much. And honestly, he's not going to be alone in thinking that an orange Frosty is disgusting. I, for one, will say, okay, anyway, I'll let you get through this, and we'll ask you first, Wolfgang, what you think, but.
So is this about the filet fish or the orange Frosty?
It's about the filet fish, but if you have any, this Frosty is like almost like just on top of it. It kind of can be both.
They're releasing them sort of at the same time, like the same announcement to bring them both out. And honestly, even if people are excited for this fish sandwich, they're going to be pissed. But go ahead. What do you think about the fish sandwich?
I'm going to have to say no. I don't think nostalgia. I want fish from a fast food restaurant just in general. Yeah. That's just going to be a no. But I know my dad was all about the filet of fish at McDonald's because his secret was nobody ever orders it. So when you get it, it's fresh.
Oh, that's interesting.
Exactly. That's what my dad always says. It's like, I get the filet of fish because nobody orders it. And so it's always fresh every time. So I guess for you filet of fish havers, oh, you probably already know that already. That's probably your secret. Tell everybody else. And I'm unveiling it, I guess.
So you wouldn't order this. It says it's wild caught fish, which to me sounds pretty legit, but I don't know. It also is Wendy's.
I don't trust
them. I don't trust them either.
You know, your dad was also onto another thing, which is that if you order something that no one else is going to order, you don't have to share it. You can go, hey, does anyone want a bite of my filet of fish sandwich?
Thing?
And everyone will go, no, I'm going to eat my burger. That's why I like black licorice. I trained myself to like black licorice and Good and Plenty because I can go, oh, I have this whole pack of Good and Plenty. Does anyone want some? And I look real generous. And then everyone's like, no, that's disgusting. And I'm like, suit yourself, morons. And then I eat the whole box by myself and get very sick. But I can do it because I'm an adult.
Incredibly generous and wonderful at the same time. And that's all that matters.
Yeah. Okay. So you're not a fan. I understand not wanting to have.
I would be more willing to try the orange Frosty.
Dreamsicle. Orange Dreamsicle Frosty.
Yeah, I'd be more willing to try that, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, you're in California, maybe a hot day, right? Like,
yeah, you want to cool down, have some cold oranges.
Yeah. Vanessa, what do you think?
But just to go back to the Orange Dreamsicle, it kind of reminds me, remember those Flintstones push-ups that were orange sherbet?
Yes.
You were really into those, Jonah. For people who like those, I think the problem isn't the Frosty itself. I think it's someone expecting a classic flavor and then being presented with orange. They probably go, you know, and in our dad's case, he should probably go, yeah, I'll take it because I've paid $3 to get free Frosties for the entire year. So I'm going to do it. And by the way, he signed up in January this year instead of February. So he gets them for the full year.
Incredible.
Anyway, the point is the fish sandwich from Wendy's, I guess I'd try it because it's also breaded in panko, which is kind of healthy, I think. So I guess I'd try it, but I hear you. You know, it's always a risk with this, with fish when you don't know exactly, you know, but I mean, they say it's wild caught. I don't know. I'm curious about it.
When?
That's a good point.
When was it caught? When was it caught?
Yeah,
according to your dad, it's probably fresh because guess what? I don't think people have like gotten more into fish sandwiches from fast food places over the years.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably still kind of have the same attitude of not for me.
I actually am a fan of fast food fish sandwiches. I don't eat them a lot. I don't eat a lot of fast food, but I remember in college I hadn't had McDonald's in like years, and I stopped and got a filet fish at a rest stop, ate it in the car, then went back inside and bought another one because I was like, it was almost like this like addictive quality to it. So I don't really eat it because it like kind of scares me. You like start craving it.
Yes.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I need to try this then.
I would try it, but I'm also with Wolfgang. It's like, I don't believe, I cannot imagine that they're using wild caught fish, even though I know that they say it is. I feel like they have to be for like $7 or whatever. It's got to be, I don't know. You don't want to mess around with fish.
I guess there's a line between like a breaded fish cake.
Yeah.
Like maybe that's okay. But like when you see like a fast food Mexican restaurant have like shrimp tacos, like
right.
I'm not gonna get the shrimp from fast food.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I watch too many of these like Gordon Ramsay shows where he goes in the kitchen, everything's like frozen and like, yeah, it's yeah. So I would try it if there was nothing else around.
Okay.
Oh, well, you know what? I might have to try that because, you know, I'm going on tour and sometimes the only thing you can have for a day is that there's one Wendy's, you know, in that you're in. Like, I might have to try it.
Okay, if you do try it, know that it's wild caught and it's breaded in panko. And also, the global vice president of culinary innovation, John Lee, noted that it's customizable and pairs nicely with an order of hot and crispy garlic fries, along with a good old-fashioned Coca-Cola Coke beverage. Why did they write Coca-Cola
Coke? I love my Coca-Cola Coke beverages.
And you could get an orange dreamsicle frosty with it. You got to try the whole thing and let us know.
Yeah.
I'm now going to refer to any soda I have as Coca-Cola Coke beverage.
So Wolfgang, if you had to pick one of these you would want to bring back for nostalgia, would it be, and I think I kind of have an idea what you're going to pick, Crazy Taxi, the Bewitched reboot, or the fish sandwich from Wendy's?
I think given our topic for the day, I'm going to have to make it rain on Crazy Taxi for sure.
Yeah. Fair. I'm going to go same. I think Crazy Taxi seems like a fun game. You know, I like any game in New York when I'm driving and not stuck in traffic, if you know what I mean. Vanessa, what about you? What are you picking here?
I didn't know it, but I guess I'd pick Crazy Taxi too. I mean, I love the name Crazy Taxi. When I was really little, my friend Tracy and I made this, we tried to sell Nintendo on a game that we created called Cool Love Life. And Crazy Taxi is sort of a similar, really kind of just throwing words out there, just kind of a bold name. The name alone, I'm like, I'm into Crazy Taxi.
How do you play Cool Love Life?
Great question.
I think there were different, well, we wrote it. So Tracy,
is it describing the experience of having a cool love life, or is it like a hey, cool, like a compliment?
So this is the late 80s and you play this character, this girl, and she goes through different levels. And this is based on stuff that we wrote, that we drew with pencil on computer paper and then kind of sent in a bunch to Nintendo thinking they'd go, okay, we're taking the bait and we're biting. Because she had heard that one of her friends sent an idea to Nintendo and they made the game.
Really?
which I'm sure is true. So we just kind of drew it out, and it was like you'd get to different levels and you'd get like a boyfriend. It feels very like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like the most
relationships.
It was having like a cool love life.
Okay. And cool love.
I don't remember exactly what we meant by that. And I don't think we knew exactly what we meant by that, but I do remember that we took I had a collection of different like decorative boxes and stuff. And we took one of the boxes and we put a ton of change in it. And we were going to try and send it to Nintendo with the game to kind of try and sweeten the deal. Like, yes, you know, we want you to make this game, but we're also going to give you probably like $3.50 worth of change in case you are. Yeah. And then our mom pointed out that she said, don't send this change with it. It's, you can't send it. And also it would have made it so expensive because it would have been so heavy.
So unfortunately, Cool Love Life didn't work out. But Wolfgang, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Is there anything, I know you have a lot obviously going on with Mammoth WVH.
Yeah, you can follow me everywhere. I guess I'm most active on Instagram @WolfVanHalen. You can go to mammothwbh.com to check out all the tour dates. We always have tour dates up there and stuff like that. And if you feel like checking out the SA126, you can go to evhgear.com to read more about it. But yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was a great time.
Thank you so much for being here. This was so fun.
Yes, thanks so much for coming on. And thanks to everyone for listening. And please keep an eye on next week's episode of How Did We Get Weird, where we will discuss more stories from our childhood and cultural touchstones like Nintendo 64. Thank you again so much, Wolfgang. We really appreciate it.
To hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV, and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.